Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
What a motley crew this is, edition. The shareholders meeting and the transfer of the presidency, edition. The one more shorts, jerseys, helmets practice, and then a day off. And as close as we get to quote-unquote real football in training camp will occur after that edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, and there we are, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can get both in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Shareholders meeting kicks off later this afternoon. Practice kicks off at 10:30. Hunter Vaughn is our cousin sub of the day for Jesse Nelson. He is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Hunter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. I am so ready for football. Just got done interviewing some high school football coaches. Training camp's underway. I'm delusional about my Cowboys already. It's great.
They do have one of the top-rated coaches in all of football. Brian Schottenheimer, directing them, and one of the faces of the NFL, apparently, Jerry Jones, saying stuff he probably shouldn't be. And from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios at the Avenue in the 3rd Street Market Hall, you hear him on Mr. Irrelevant. You hear him as the accomplished producer.
Wow.
He even looked out for me a little bit, dropping things for me on KBN.
Yeah, good one. Good one yesterday, yeah.
And, of course, you can also find him on Weekly Wilde if we ever figure out how to schedule that during training camp. It is Alex Strofe, our cousin sub of the day for Tausch. Strofe, good morning. How are you?
I am lovely, Jason. Good to be with you on this Friday, the first week of training camp. I'm just going to try to do my best Tausch impression real quick. Do you think Mark Murphy and Ed Policy will literally have a passing of the torch? Like, I know Mark Murphy, probably not a prop comedian, but do you think they will have some sort of handoff later this afternoon at the shareholders meeting when they do the quote-unquote passing of the torch for presidency. Yeah, like I in my head, I vision an actual passing of the torch, though that's unlikely.
So you're thinking almost like the Olympics where they run around
bingo.
The city and they do that. Yeah, I don't think that's going to occur. No, I would be surprised if that were to occur. But hey, again, Mark Murphy's an innovator. He's full of ideas. Maybe that's something that he would like to try. So have you been to the shareholders meeting previously? You're a Green Bay kid. Your dad, obviously, a longtime Green Bay police officer. I'm sure he worked a few of these events. Have you ever actually attended it yourself?
I attended last year for the first time. I am not a shareholder, so I've never bought the piece of paper.
Sneak in?
No, Kyle Wallace from KBN is a shareholder, so he got extra, I don't know how many tickets he got. I think he got 4 tickets or something to the shareholders meeting. So him and I attended last year. And I'll tell you what, I just got to be honest. I love Mark Murphy. I love his comedy bits. I love his attempt at entertaining. It's boring. I'm not a numbers guy, Jason. As you know very well working with me, I am not the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to numbers specifically. So the shareholders meeting, I find it rather rather boring, mundane, if you will.
This one will be different, though, I would argue, because
fair,
there is that passing of the torch. Whether that's going to be boring or not, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I will say this. I agree with you. There was a time when this event was different, and that was when Ron Wolf was the general manager. They have the football report every year, and Ron Wolf would actually talk football. Like, he would actually give information. As a reporter, I needed to be there. I am considering today staying in my office, listening to it over the loudspeaker, and continuing to write about football instead of dollars and cents, which obviously came out earlier in the week when we talked with Mark Murphy. But he would give you like the lowdown, like, hey, we're really excited about this guy, or this guy's come back from this injury. But he would give a timeline. There would always be nuggets.
That's
then
helpful.
Ted Thompson took over. And Ted, the first year or two, kind of did that. And then after that, he went to reading the names of the players on the roster, which I thought was an interesting approach. Just their names.
That's one way to do it.
And then he even whittled it down further, where he would just say the position and they would have the names on the scoreboard. And he wouldn't even say
the
names.
That's what they did last year. Yeah.
And then Goody has continued that tradition. So I don't know what you would get out of that from a football perspective. But again, I think it's important to point out that this one is different. It is undeniably different. There is going to be the new president as of today when he takes over. So that to me is significant. We'll talk more about actual football. Now, what we're going to do today, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit apprehensive, but
it's
given,
your idea.
I know, but I think it's important to give people the chance to spread their wings. I wouldn't be where am today.
If it wasn't
for Tom Mulhern, Kent Youngblood, Tom Oates, Andy Baggett, Greg Sprout, all those guys at the State Journal way back in the day when I started in 1996, who gave me opportunities. Now, you have lots of responsibilities. You are the driver of our Green Bay Game Day pregame programming on game days. You obviously, as I mentioned, produce wildly popular, but I feel like somewhat popular is a better way to put it. KBN. you have your own
no comment.
Show, Mr. You have your own show, Mr. Irrelevant, which how do people consume Mr. Irrelevant with you, and whether it's you and Hunter or you and Joshy, how do people get that?
Yeah, Joshy, Hunter, and Will Summers, now full-time Will, always with me. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, beginning at 12:30. You can find it on YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, and, of course, the all-new customizable, I believe you always call it, ESPN Wisconsin app. You can go ahead and put Mr. Irrelevant right next to Wilde and Tausch at the top of your feed on the ESPN Wisconsin app. We do it three times a week. So that's how you find it.
So it's not like you need the reps, but, you know, this is, dare I say, a pretty high-profile program. Tausch is a star.
Oh, wow. Humble brag, yeah. Yeah, he is.
No, you heard the second sentence I said there. And so, you know, the big fella draws in a lot of listeners. And so I thought it might be fun because, you know, he loves to point out that, and on the rare occasions he does ask a question. Oh, you always say I don't ask you any questions, then why do you don't have an answer? Maybe that's true. The bottom line is, though, that I do a lot of the questioning. He does a lot of the opining and answering. So we in the mm-hmm. in the radio biz call that being the driver and the reactor.
Sure.
I reactor is strong for me. I'm thinking more passenger, shotgun passenger. But I thought I would turn the show over to you and let you run the point today. Do you find that to be a smart decision or a questionable one?
All right, so I don't want to question your coaching ability, Jason, because your daughters are blessed to have a very active father and coach in their lives. You coach all the sports they participate in, and I'm sure similar to what you just did on this program, you give great messages, right? Growth isn't linear. Would probably be the number one on that
list, like
if
that.
I was guessing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you sure do. So. I appreciate the opportunity. I will happily take the opportunity given I would just say the nature of which we will be operating in, which is at some point today, you are going to leave us for a brief moment. And
correct.
Hunter and I and Will and I and the three of us for Mr. Relevant are going to navigate that one segment by our lonesome. And then you're going to return and you are going to be updating us at training camp. But also, Jason... Mm-hmm. As you know, you've done this for years and years on this program and all the others you've hosted throughout your very, very well, established and accomplished career. You're on the sideline. So there's horns going off. There's people trying to pull you for conversations. We are going to do our best today to get every piece of information we can. I also read a release that you can't give us as much information as maybe you could in prior years, but we'll get to that later. We are going to do our best today, Jason, and I am happily going to take the baton from you as we navigate through the waters that are the Friday Wilde and Tausch ship. So I appreciate the opportunity. I will happily take you up on that.
Ship, yes. The
ship, yeah.
Ship. Great. I can't wait. Hunter, predict how this will go.
If it's anything like Mr. Irrelevant, off the rails very quickly. We're going to get off topic very easily.
Well, dude, I really want to talk about, the Chuck E. Cheese that was arrested in Tallahassee, Florida at some point. So
Florida,
we'll get to that.
Strikes but, again.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that is it reminds me, it seems like every week on Thursday, we're getting like an unbelievable viral sensation. Last week was the Coldplay CEO and HR manager of Astronomer, the AI company, who have both now resigned as of yesterday. This week, it is a man in a full-blown Charles Edward Cheddar costume being arrested for credit card fraud. How do they even know they have the right guy? You know? Anyway, so we'll get to that later, I'm sure. But sorry, Jason. Another derailment very quickly.
So I've changed my mind back. I'm going to run the show.
Good choice.
I love the fact that you made that decision very easy for me right out of the chute. No, we'll do it together. We'll trade. We'll go back and forth. There'll be a give and a take, the old give and take.
Sure. Yeah.
But the fact that you went to the Chuck E. Cheese arrest literally after seconds after taking over.
You're telling me you have no opinions on this? You saw this.
I am up to here with Packers training camp. I just posted on channel3000.com because I, quite frankly, ran out of a little bit of gas last night. Not in my vehicle because that's an unforced error. But in my writing that I decided, you know what? I'm going to write this better if I wake up early in the morning and write it, which I did after I finished it up after talking to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and after talking to the to Eric and Vinny on 620 WTMJ, filling in for Tausch there. I wrote about Matthew Golden, and he told a story to me and a couple of other folks on Wednesday that I found incredibly compelling. And I want to talk about that coming up. So we'll get to that. So bottom line, I don't know what you're talking about. So we need to get to that at some point so I can be more up to date. Because, look, there was no avoiding our pal Andy and his HR gal pal on social media after that happened. Like, that was
our pal.
My entire feed was, yeah, we're good buddies. And currently one of us has a different lifestyle than the other, clearly. But be that as it may,
I was going to say, one of you has a divorce lawyer on retention. The other hopefully does not.
Yeah, unless there's something going on with Paula that I'm not aware of, I think I feel pretty good about where I'm at with her. That said, I feel good where I'm at with you guys. Thank you again for stepping in. I know this is kind of a crazy time of the year where folks are in and out. I've taken a few days off. Those days are over. As training camp is in full swing, practice three coming up at 10:30, followed by the shareholders meeting this afternoon at 3. We will cover it all for you across ESPN Wisconsin, and I'll have stories at channel3000.com as well. Tausch is on his summer sabbatical, as we like to call it, which means that while we are here, he will be telling us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin from not the great beyond, but from a recorded message. Here's Tausch. More Wildy and Tausch is straight ahead.
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. For windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. The Pella Experience Center lets you see, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of windows and door options from 7 different Pella lines, all side by side. Stop by soon, because if you order by July 31st, you can get 0 interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Alex Strofe and Hunter Vaughn in as our cousin subs of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Do I look red to you, Hunter? Is this my iPad or is that the lighting?
Probably a mix of both.
All right, stay right there. And if you're listening, just wait a second.
Oh, boy. Where's he going? What's happening? Turning on a light, maybe?
Changing the lighting a little bit.
That's what he's doing. Sits back down. Still red. He looks like he spent way too much time in the sun.
But I'm not red. I'm seriously not. I hide in the shade when I'm doing the show. Now, I think this actually looks worse. Now, shadowy.
Yeah, it looks worse. Are you sure you haven't been out baking in the sun recently? You know, Speedo at the beach?
Well, as you know, I am an Adonis. So I'm a big Speedo guy. You see me in that ensemble all the time. Hunter, help me out here. Who's the guy? Borat with that with that V that
very
he wears.
Nice.
yeah, that's my look. No, it's been nice. And yesterday, I'll say this, it was cloudy. We got a little bit of rain for a brief time at practice, and then the sun came out right as practice was ending, so we stayed cool as a cucumber out there. Speaking of cool, I got to say that Matthew Golden has made a good first impression, both in terms of my most extended interaction with him in conversation, which happened on Wednesday, and in terms of what we've seen the first 2 days. Now, I know that this is not fun when I do this and I sound like I'm scolding people. I don't mean to sound that way. But it's two practices in helmets, jerseys, and shorts. So we have to make sure, good, bad, or like if a guy goes out there and looks terrible, we also need to make sure that we're being a little more careful about how we perceive what he's done. Okay. So I don't want to keep sounding like, a third grade teacher, but I do think that's important to keep in mind. Now, that said, he had a touchdown catch from Malik Willis on day one. He had a play yesterday where Jordan Love moved around in the pocket, hit him in stride on a crossing route where it was between two defenders, one of whom was Bo Melton. He's just really smooth. And again, Tausch loves it when I do this and then holds it over me as a result. But he moves like Greg Jennings, except he's faster. That's who he kind of reminds me of. So if he ends up playing at the level that Greg Jennings did, because Greg Jennings, I know the way things ended were not optimal. And he said some things on his way out the door. And then when he was in Minnesota that were not great, he was a stud. I mean, he was a really, really, really good player here. And so if Golden follows that kind of an arc, that's something to be excited about. But he's made a really good first impression. But the conversation that I was having with him in the locker room the other day, are you a goal setter? Do you write down your goals? Like, I want to, kick a field goal someday, or that seems to be a ways off, it would appear from the video evidence I've seen. But do you write those down?
Not sure what's going on with Strofe. I have him on here.
He's talking to himself.
Yeah.
He's never sounded better.
Oh.
There we go.
It's fair. Hunter, did you just not turn me on? What happened?
No, I had you on.
Is this what strange. Mr. Irrelevant is like?
Yes.
Because Hunter just told me...
Working through technical issues, yes.
Hunter just told me during the break that you guys are going to do like a mini Mr. Irrelevant while I'm going down to practice. And I'm curious, does that mean the two of you will just be silence?
Yes, likely. Likely there will be a technical issue that we run into that Hunter attempts to fix. But to answer your question, I said I hate to sound like your former buddy. Maybe not former buddy. Maybe you're still your buddy. But the former quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. I am a believer in the power of manifestation, Jason. I like to out loud speak my goals and talk about how I'm going to make them happen. But I don't really write them down these days. I don't write much anymore since I've departed the Denmark News. I can't say I'm a big writer these days.
So, okay. Well, Matthew Golden does something that did something growing up and now still does this today. And you can read about this at channel3000.com. But I thought, I even asked him yesterday, I'm like, have you told that story before? I'd never heard that before. He said, I think I might have told it once. When he was 6 years old, he watched the NFL draft. And on that day, that became his goal, was to be a first-round draft pick. He watched guys walk across the stage. And he said, I'm going to do that someday. And he took... I assume it was a Crayola marker and not a Sharpie, because if it was a Sharpie, I don't know if you can clean that off of glass. But he wrote that as his goal on his mirror. And if you know anything about Matthew Golden's story, he endured a challenging childhood. He moved around a lot. There were times where he and his mom stayed in hotels from day to day. There was a time where they slept in their car outside of a Walmart. He lived with his grandmother for a period of time with his mom, and then they lost that house, which he made his goal to reacquire it once he got to the NFL. So he's in the process of doing that. But he wrote, he said, no matter where I lived, I wrote it on the mirror. And now he's realized that goal. And I said, so are you still doing that? Now, I don't know if he's living in a hotel or if he's got his house
already set
up.
Great follow-up by you.
Yeah.
Great follow-up by you.
But he, well said. Good answer. So he wrote that. He's writing it on his mirror now. So he's brushing his teeth every morning. He's fixing his hair. And his goals are, he wouldn't tell us what his goals were for this year, but he's still doing it. And so he's.
Well, that's bad on you. You're a journalist. Find out the answer.
Tell me. I'm going to follow him home and then go into
his house. Break into his house, dude.
Hey, what did he write here? What if I can't read his handwriting?
Jason, yeah, come on.
Exactly. So anyway, I think, and look, this is what comes with being a first round pick, right? Like, if there's anybody.
Yeah.
That people are interested in, and I don't know, Michael in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments, I don't know where this is coming from. Being a conduit for fans is not completely ignoring fans and everything you do for your job. Jason is taking himself way too seriously and forgot why he is allowed to do the job he does.
Now you suck, Jason. We all hate you.
If Michael's unhappy that I haven't been in the YouTube comments, it's because when I'm at practice, I'm at practice. I can't check the YouTube comments to interact with the good people of the YouTube comments. But I assure you, Michael, I have not forgotten that. I'm not willing to break into Matthew Golden's house to get you that information. But
that'd be good journalism.
I do take that responsibility seriously. But my point was going to be, before I got sidetracked, and now I'm going to close that window, is that while I may think, you know, the offensive line or Nate Hobbs or Josh, like, there's been all kinds of storylines that I have been interested in and I feel like readers and listeners are interested in, so I focused on those. The first-round pick is really a big deal. And I think last year, because it was an offensive lineman, I don't want to say I lost sight of that, but it wasn't, you know, he kind of got knocked out in the first round, right? Like, it was Rashid Walker at left tackle from the jump, and then he hurt his shoulder. So Jordan Morgan was not that big of a story during camp. People want to know about Matthew Golden. They want to know about every catch he makes. He had a touchdown from Malik Willis on day one. They're going to want to know what he did today. So I chose to write about him and talk about him today. And I got to say, he is just a very... He's just an impressive, he's 21 years old, but he's just got kind of a maturity to him that I really, really like. So I think there's been some very encouraging early signs. But again, I would emphasize that there's a lot of ball game left and a lot of training camp left, and he's got a lot of career left. And I don't want to come out here and, you know, say, oh, he's going to be this or he's going to be that. When I say he reminds me of Greg Jennings, it's the way he carries himself. It's the way he moves. He's not the biggest dude. Like, he's not 6'2", 6'3", like Jordy Nelson. He's not Devontae Adams, who's 6'1", right? I mean, he's more Greg Jennings size. Like, they've got a Greg Jennings in him, and I would argue they've got kind of a Randall Cobb in Jaden Reed, whose nickname is Jaybird, but now they've shortened it to Bird.
Just like you.
So I can't wait.
Aren't you also Jaybird?
Well, I was going to discuss that with Jaden, but I was talking to Dontavian Wicks yesterday. He kept calling him Bird. So apparently they've dropped the J. And I don't know if Jesse filed some sort of like a copyright infringement against them, and so they had to change it for me, but whatever it might be. I want to talk more about the
Let's just change the name of the show. Bird and Tausch.
So Jaden Reed's going to start doing the show.
Oh, excuse me. Jay Bird and Tausch.
Yeah, I think there's some people that would like to do that, actually. What I want to get to next is something that you wanted to get to. So this will be your chance to drive the show coming up next. And that is,
great. How
do you keep all these guys involved with the pass catchers? And we're going to hear from Matt LaFleur and his answer on that after I tell you about Steinhoffels. And this is something you're going to want to get involved with. It's the last weekend of the Steinhoffels Double Up and Save Big sale. You'll get 10% off store-wide, and here's the kicker. You'll double your savings with an extra 10% off when you buy two or more furniture pieces. Like, we got a chair and we got a sectional couch a couple months ago. We're excited about that. You'll be excited about whatever you take home and the extra bargains that will come with it. Plus, you'll get up to $300 in Steinhoffel's cash when you purchase select mattresses. Steinhoffel's, Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader. Shop in-store now or online at steinhoffels.com. Jay Bird and Mr. Irrelevant, roll on Wildy and Tausch.
First of all, I love bringing this to the public.
The Rich Eisen Show.
NFC North. Top to bottom, you could say this is the best this division has ever been.
Coming September 2nd on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah, Wildy and Tausch continues. I'm Alex Stropin for Mark Tauscher alongside the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wildy, live from his office in Lambeau Field on this Friday, day three of training camp, about a little less than an hour away from getting underway at Ray Nitschke Field. So Jason set it up last segment, and it's something that I've pondered quite a bit this offseason. I know we talked about it at length during our annual State of the Packers show a couple weeks ago at Summerfest. And that is the pass catchers. Like, there are so many guys to the point in Green Bay where we have converted a wide receiver to a different position in order for him to maybe make the roster. That is how crowded the wide receiver room is. And we know how good the tight end room could be with Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, both healthy, at least at this point in the offseason and to begin the season. So before we get to the conversation around the pass catchers, Jason, I want to hear from the head coach, Matt LaFleur, because I thought this was really interesting, and I'm not exactly sure who asked the question. Maybe you can help me with that, about how to keep everybody happy. But I thought Matt LaFleur's answer was at the same time a good answer, but also kind of a cop-out. Here's the head coach in an exchange with a reporter yesterday about how to keep all the pass catchers happy in the 2025 NFL season.
How do you keep everybody happy?
That's a great question. Winning. Hopefully winning will keep them all happy. And, you know, I mean, the beauty of our offense is, like, you really don't know necessarily who's going to get the ball. And I think it really frees up the quarterback. He doesn't have to feel that pressure, oh, I got to get this guy the ball. And it's really on us as a staff to try to move these guys around and showcase what they can do.
So that's the head coach, Matt LaFleur, yesterday.
That was Bill Huber that asked the question.
Huber, got it. Sports Illustrated's Bill Huber, longtime Packer beat reporter, asked the question. And I guess I'm intrigued by the answer because, yes, I do believe winning cures everything. But you were also dealing with a room that has a lot of expectations and a quarterback that has high expectations, being that he's a $55 million man. You had a guy in that room, Jason, last year not show up to work because he wasn't happy with his reps and the amount that he was spending on the field in Romeo Doubs, and they were still winning last year. All things considered, pretty good year last year. So I guess I texted you yesterday, and I'm curious on where you're at, and I don't know that 2 days of training camp necessarily changes your opinion on this, but I feel like you could tell me the output of the receiver room for the 2025 season in a million different ways, and I'd probably believe you every single time because I think it's a little unpredictable, and I don't know whether or not that's a good thing. Like, Matt LaFleur made it sound like it's a good thing. Where are you at with this room, and when you hear that answer from Matt LaFleur, how are you feeling? Because I just, as a fan, I'm going, I don't know, man. I guess I need to see it, I guess, to believe it.
I would say that a million is a bit of hyperbole.
Yes,
that's that. Yes, there's, that would be a little there's bit maybe stronger, not right? that many, yeah. But there could be 100 different variations, right? Depending upon what combinations of wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs you put out there, where you line them up, who you send in motion, who you have as the number one read on a certain pass play, all those things, and one of the storylines and one of the missions of training camp is to figure out you know, exactly who fits best where and who can be utilized best in which situations. And, you know, I know we talked about this yesterday on KBN, LaFleur giving me a hard time about asking a question after the bell. And the fact that I wasn't there because I have a radio program at the same time yesterday, you know, he made a joke about it. But I will be there on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that tonight.
But the question that prompted that exchange at the end of Wednesday's session was something that Tausch brought up, which I thought was brilliant. And that is, what this team is trying to figure out is who, on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, when it's third and seven, and the offense needs to convert to keep a drive going to go win the game, or when it's third and seven, then the defense has to get a stop to force a punt or force a difficult fourth down situation to go win the game. Mm-hmm. Who do you trust? Who do you want on the field in those situations? And quite frankly, I don't know the answer to that question right now. And I'm not sure the Packers do either, right?
Like, I think the only thing that we all know is Tucker Kraft. I think that is the only answer that we are all comfortable in saying, right? When it comes to the receiver room specifically, like, Romeo Doubs has probably been the best example of Jordan Love's security blanket, if you will, during his first 2 years as a starter.
Mm-hmm. Really good third down guy.
Matthew Golden, obviously, ton of expectations, ton of upside. He's got the skill set. Will it translate? That's the big question we're waiting to see with Matthew Golden. Christian Watson, right? Well, if he's been healthy, he's been okay, but some games have been great, some days he's been bad. Like, he's a hard one to figure out here in a, if I'm not mistaken, a contract year, right, for Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs?
Absolutely,
When it comes to those other two that are a year younger than them, Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks, I think both of those guys have unbelievable skill sets. Like, I think Dontavian Wicks, and I don't want to get carried away with this comparison, but I think he is the closest thing to young Devontae Adams the Packers have. Great route running ability. Obviously, the drop issues are probably why he gets compared to him the most. But I think Dontavian Wicks has an unbelievable skill set, and he had quite a year last year despite all of the drops. And then Jaden Reed is, I've kind of compared him to Deebo Samuel Light almost the last couple of years. You can just do so many creative things with him, with a creative offensive mind like Matt LaFleur is. Where you can put him in motion, you can put him in the backfield, yada, yada, yada. I all these guys have something. But to your point, and to Tausch's point, who do you trust? I don't know the answer to that question as we stand here on July 25th. Hopefully I feel better about this on, say, October 25th, as we get a couple weeks into the season. But as it stands right now, I don't know the answer, Jason. Like, I don't know who to expect. You know, taking the biggest chunk of the snap count. Like, if I had to guess right now in the 2025 season, who will play the most offensive snaps at the wide receiver position? I don't know that I have a good answer.
Yeah, I don't either. And I'd like to think that I have a pretty good handle on most things that go on around here. You know, Goody had a line on Wednesday that there's the stuff you guys know about, and then there's the stuff that you don't. That's fair,
right?
Yeah. That is definitely fair. There are things that happen in this building that I don't know about, and I understand why they don't want me to know about them, right? There are things, you know, Domofsky is the best reporter we have on the beat. He doesn't know everything that's going on either. He's plugged in pretty well. He's got good sources. But I just, you know, there's a lot going on. But that said, I feel like all of us that have covered the team for a while now have a pretty good idea about most things. We have a pretty good idea who's good and who's not. We have a pretty good idea of what Matt LaFleur wants to do, what Jeff Hafley wants to do, what they're good at, what they're not as good at, all those things. When it comes to what the pass-catching options will be in the crucial moments, I honestly don't know. But guess what? I don't think the head coach knows either. I think he's got a better idea than we have, but sure. I don't think he knows either.
I don't know that he does either, Jason. And listening to that answer, it sounds like he doesn't, right? Like, oh, we've got so many guys, we can get creative, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm excited, and I have more hope maybe than I did, say, January when the season ended, right? When they lost to Philadelphia in the postseason, I think we all kind of had the big takeaway if we looked at the season as a whole, if we took the entirety of the season, we walked away with one big takeaway. It was none of the receivers took the step like we were anticipating, right? We went into the 2024 season. At this time last year when you and I were talking, I think both of us were under the impression somebody's going to step up. Somebody's going to emerge as the number one. The Packers are, you know, operating under the belief that, you know, they have good football players in that room. And somebody will become the bona fide stud number one receiver. That did not happen in the 2024 season. So what do they go out and do? They go ahead and try to address that in the draft in both the first and the third round with the drafting of Matthew Golden and Savion Williams, respectively. So we are now at a point where that room is entirely crowded. And I said it at the beginning of the segment, to the point where they are switching somebody's position, right? Bo Melton is now a cornerback. And so that means they must feel at least pretty darn good about where that room is at. But to your point, I don't know that the head coach slash play caller offensively knows exactly who his go-to guy will be come week one against the Lions on September 7th. That, and I don't know that that's a problem, but it's still, to me as a fan, for a team that where we have convinced ourselves and they are talking about in the locker room that this is a team with Super Bowl expectations, that's where I go, okay, maybe it's a little problematic they don't have a quote-unquote go-to guy.
I love it when coaches say it's a good problem to have. Because what's weird about that is that right there, you're acknowledging it is a problem, right? You're
it's
calling
a problem,
it a good problem to have. That doesn't change the fact that it's a problem. So on the one hand, and look, I know that, you know, lots of fans and reporters, you know, I still think back to when LaFleur gave me the whenever I hear number one receiver, I want to vomit line. When the question wasn't really about number one wide receivers. But be that as it may, that just showed his angst about that question, right? That he interrupted and said that. I don't think he necessarily wants someone to be given that title that isn't at the level of Devontae Adams, who he had during his best, right? His best part of his career was while Matt LaFleur was coaching him and while Aaron Rodgers was throwing to him. But if a guy plays at a level that he commands that type of respect and role, great. He's going to be on board with it. But I do think Matt is authentic when he says that he's okay with having all these options. He's also said that, look, it doesn't have to be a wide receiver. It can be Tucker Kraft. And quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out to be Tucker Kraft, despite all these wide receivers.
We're going to get to Will the Entouch trivia coming up next, presented by our friends at Vortex Golf. But if I made you pick, I'm going to try to do a Touch thing here, and you might not answer because you're good at that. You're good at, elusively evading a direct question like I'm about to ask you. If I made you pick right now, who do you think leads the team in receiving yards?
I'm not doing that.
because
here's the thing, like, again, I love Tausch. He's the best. He gives me a hard time that I don't make predictions and I don't have bold takes.
You don't.
Because I don't. That's
bold
great,
takes sometimes. Predictions
very
are not
rarely.
Great.
I would say very rarely. But to me, my job, the way I view my job, is to educate, elucidate, inform, give insight. But I hate these. I don't want to speak about anybody specifically, but like if you stuck your flag in the ground on Jordan Love on one side or the other, you are predisposed to that position. Either he's going to be an MVP, all pro, great quarterback, or he's going to suck. And you see it in how people interact with us when we talk about him. You can tell the ones who think he's a bum, and you can tell the ones that think he's going to be as good as Rodgers and Favre. And I think it's okay to say, I don't know. And, you know, I had a great conversation with Jordan yesterday. I had talked to Dontavion Wicks one-on-one, and he was talking about his mental approach last year and how bad it was and how much that affected his performance. And first of all, that's the kind of stuff You know, when a guy's willing to open up a little bit about kind of, that kind of stuff, that's when I love my job the most. And so I want to tell that story properly. So I didn't want to rush it last night. But I went and talked to Jordan after that. And, you know, and Jordan and I talked about volleyball and Ronica and the wedding. Like, I really like Jordan. And when I say that, you know, Tausch gives me a hard time. But I want to be clear that just because I'm not willing to stand on a pedestal and claim or shout from the mountaintop, he's going to be an MVP. It's not because I don't like him or I don't think we don't see flashes of really, 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 really good football, because we all know that, right? But I don't know what he's going to be. And so I want to be able to be fair to him as he goes through the growing pains that take him to whatever he will ultimately be. And I feel like if I'm constantly saying, you know, I think he's a bum or I think he's awesome, then that colors the way. And I'm sure I fail at this still. I get it. But I think that that's really important. So when it comes to the wide receivers, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. Wicks is probably my favorite one. I like Reed. I like Watson a ton. I like who he, I love who Watson is. Like, I would love to be a wide receiver on this team and in the room with him. He runs slightly faster than me, even while he's coming back from ACL tear, but you know, and faster than you. Although you could probably beat him in the three cone now. Much. Well, he's not, because I don't think he's supposed to be cutting like that. So I like your chances, but I don't know how productive he's going to be this year. I don't even know when the heck he's going to play. So sure. Your question is a really good one, but I'm punting on it to stay on brand.
Yeah, it's very on brand for you. I mean, just so you're aware, nobody's going to like come haunt your dreams if you get this one wrong. I was just curious, given what you've seen out of the first 2 days, if somebody's sticking out above the rest. Because, right, like Matthew Golden, for example, we talked about a bit earlier. I think he will get a lot of snaps towards the back half of the year. I don't know if that will be the case at the beginning of the season. He's running with the twos right now for the most part in training camp, which is as expected. That's what they've done with all of their first round picks the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years for the most part. So I don't know. Like, Golden, obviously the ceiling is high. Dontavian Wicks, like you mentioned, I just think he has a terrific skill set. I think if he is able to put it all together, that guy can be a really, really good NFL wide receiver. You know, Christian Watson likely going to miss some time, so it's probably not him. Romeo Dobbs, as I mentioned, he's been the best example, and you know, to your point on third downs, of Jordan Love's like go-to guy, Romeo Dobbs has been. But Tucker Kraft, he had quite a coming-out party last year. Can he become a real top-five NFL tight end and maybe lead this team in receiving? That wouldn't shock me. You could give me all of those answers and say, hey, that's the leading receiver for 2025, and I would believe you. Because I think that room is that wide open, and that's why I think outside of maybe the left tackle battle, it's the most intriguing position group at training camp. Because is somebody going to stick out right away? Is it going to take until we get some preseason action, or is it going to be until we get to week 7 and finally we go, oh yeah, Jaden Reed is that guy, or Dontavian Wicks is that guy, or Tucker Kraft is the go-to guy for the passing game? That's what I'm really intrigued about with this team. That's probably my number one like curiosity about the 2025 Packers, is who is going to be that guy. He's Jason Wilde. I'm Alex Strophin for Mark Tauscher today here on Wilde and Tausch. We need caller 4, caller 11 for Wilde and Tausch trivia, presented by Vortex Golf. That's caller 4 and caller 11 at 844-770-3776. 844-770-ESPN is your way into Wilde and Tausch trivia. Caller 4, caller 11. Hunter, what is our category today?
We are
double
doing
trivia.
Current and former Milwaukee Brewers, as we have the alumni home run derby. So half the questions written by me, the other half by the hall monitor, Jesse Nelson.
Oh, okay, fun. So caller 4, caller 11, we're going to do double Wilde and Tausch trivia. And in true Wilde and Tausch fashion, we will get to that after 10 o'clock. It'll be about 10:02 by the time we get to that in the fourth segment of the 9 o'clock hour. Caller 4, caller 11, right now you're playing Wilde and Tausch trivia. Current and former Brewers, your topic today, 844-770-3776. We let Jason resume driving the ship, if you will, of Wilde and Tausch trivia, which resumes right after this on ESPN Wisconsin.
All
All right, before we get to trivia, which we have the streak going, not to the 11 games that the Milwaukee Brewers had won until some morons jinxed it.
They owe me a cheeseburger, by the way.
I've heard you've mentioned that.
Hey, Will, you hear that? You owe some people cheeseburgers. You hear that, Will?
Yeah.
It's all you, Will.
We owe cheeseburgers?
Yeah. All right. That's what they're saying.
It's not all.
Yeah.
It's not
I'll
all
go in for Jason.
I appreciate you, Will.
No, it's all Will's fault.
Catchers stick together. All right. So, couple things. Matt LaFleur is at the podium downstairs. And first of all, their big ticket free agent offensive lineman, Aaron Banks, has a back issue. He dropped out of practice yesterday, and he is very day-to-day, according to Bill Huber's tweets about him. That means Travis Glover will likely get first-team reps in his spot at left guard, because the former left guard is now the center, but he's not practicing either because he's got a back issue.
He also has a back issue, but I would imagine a very different back issue than what Aaron Banks is actually dealing with.
Yeah, fair. Again, I don't want to cast any aspersions. I don't know. I've not talked to Elton. Right.
He might actually have a back issue, but I would assume that's why he's not practicing. But anyway, go on.
Travis who I know Bill wrote about yesterday. I was planning on writing about him today if we saw that Aaron Banks wasn't out there, which will be the case. Remember, last time we saw Travis Glover, he was being eaten alive by the Philadelphia Eagles in the playoff game. So opportunity for him, you know, he talked yesterday about the idea of having to regain and re-earn the team's trust after that performance. So good opportunity for him. So that's one. Two, Savion Williams will not practice today. And Matt LaFleur wouldn't say why when reporters down in the media auditorium asked. So anytime something like that crops up, you obviously start to wonder, right? Because why would you not say why he won't be practicing? So that's it. And it could, let's hit the pause button and say it could be nothing. But usually it's not nothing when that's the answer.
It feels correct. It feels irresponsible to go ahead and ponder why that could be, right? It could be a slew of reasons. I think I would just say this. I think naturally, as Packers fans or a beat writer in your case, Jason, I think naturally our head goes to what happened last year with Romeo Doubs, right? Oh, well, he was upset. I don't think that's the case here. Just guessing. And again, I think it's irresponsible to speculate because it could be anything from he has an injury that he doesn't want to talk about, or it could be, you know, God forbid, a death in the family, right? It could be anything like that. So don't have the answer. It is what it is. So I guess we'll wait and see. We'll eventually have an answer, I would guess, when he returns. But very interesting that he declined to comment as to why Savion Williams is not practicing.
I would agree. So those are the two things of import that seem to come out of Matt LaFleur's presser this morning downstairs in the media auditorium. All right, let's get to trivia presented by Vortex Golf.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
So we only had played trivia three times this week, and we have three first-time contestants. We have a fourth in Danny in Madison, a first-time contestant. Danny, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, boys?
Welcome to trivia, and then playing the role of Will Summers and Alex Strolf, costing everyone their George Webb hamburgers, putting an end to the streak. He's the big dumper, apparently. He is Ace in Mount Horeb, who's played before. Ace, good morning. How are you, bud?
Good luck.
What's up, big dumper?
Good morning, Jason Ader. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks a lot. We're happy to have you, too, even though you've played before. All right, Strolf, I'm going to give you the choice. Instead of alternating, we're each going to take a contestant. Do you want Danny or do you want Ace?
I feel like the first-time contestant should be reserved for the permanent host of the show. So you will take Danny. I will take Big Dumper and Mount Horeb, if that works for you.
All right. Well, then you go first with your first question for Ace.
All right, Big Dumper, here we go. Question one, Wilde and Tausch trivia on a Friday. Ace, which current Brewer is also an outfielder for the Italian national team? Is that Isaac Collins? Is it Christian Yelich? Or is it Salvatore Sal Frelick?
That'd be Isaac Collins.
I felt like I gave you the layup there, Ace.
Sal Frelick?
Wow.
Yeah, it's Sal.
Sal Frelick is indeed an outfielder for the Italian team. I'll be honest with you, Ace. I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that.
I'm not sure if the problem here, in my opinion, I don't know if Jesse had anything to do with this one or if this was Hunter, but usually everyone, and Ace, having played before, knows this. Third question, usually a joke. Third answer, I mean, in the first question, usually a joke. So,
That's
a good point.
I apologize to you, but you still got it wrong, and it sucks to be you. All right, Danny, question number one for you.
It sucks
is this.
To be you.
It's a song from Avenue Q. Question two, Danny, or question one for you, question two overall, Danny, is this. Which base runner scored on Niger Morgan's walk-off hit when the Brewers defeated the Diamondbacks in Game 5 of the 2011 NLDS? This is a first question?
That's hard.
Oh, boy. Hunter, are these yours?
Half of them are. I did the question Scope will be asking. So blame Jesse.
Listen, this
for
is Jesse.
Yeah, this is Jesse.
Jesse bringing the heat. All right, Danny.
This is
was
brutal.
Was that base runner Carlos Gomez, Johnny Estrada, or Eurunio Suarez?
I'm going to go Carlos Gomez.
And you're going to get it right. Well done.
Good choice. Yeah. Go ahead. Nicely done, Danny. First time contestant, one for one. Big Dumper, Ace in Mount Horeb. You are 0 for 1. Let's get you on the board here with question number 2 for you. Question 3 overall. Ace, in 1998, the year I was born, Pat Murphy became the youngest collegiate coach to reach 500 wins while coaching at which current Big 12 school? Was it Claremont Mud Scripps, Arizona State, or Kansas?
Oh, these are tough questions. I'm going to go Arizona State.
Attaboy, you're on the board.
All right, good. Sounds good.
Danny, question number 2 for you is this. In his 11-year MLB career, Bill Hall played every position in the field at least once, except for two. Catcher was one of those positions. Which other position did Bill Hall never play? Was it pitcher, first base, or center field?
That's a good question. I know he's a utility dude. I'm going to go pitcher. First base?
It's wrong, but yeah, you got it. It's wrong, but I got to admit, these guys got some swagger to them both, Ace and Danny. I like this. All right, let's get to question 3 for you, Ace. Which member of the Brewers coaching staff was voted sexiest baseball player by Cosmopolitan magazine? Sexiest baseball player. All right, we're looking at the looks here, Ace. Was it Pat Murphy, Chris Hook, or Ricky Weeks?
Well, Cosmo, that was one of the Seinfeld episodes. Really? Cosmo. Let's go with Ricky Weeks.
Nailed it. Yeah, he's a good-looking guy to this day. Yeah, good-looking guy to this day. Yeah. Sexiest.
I didn't know
Jason,
that.
If we ran a contest of sexiest ESPN Wisconsin host, would you crack the list?
Danny, question three for you is this. Ryan Braun, speaking of good-looking guys, was voted the 2011 National League MVP. Which player that same season was voted the American League MVP? Was it Justin Verlander, Curtis Granderson, or Evan Longoria?
Justin Verlander.
Nicely done. I would not have gotten that one right either. All right. So where does that leave us, Strofe? Everybody got two out of three?
That's correct.
Two out of three means you get three of the possible four entries into our drawing later in the show if Hunter has been entrusted with that job. Ace, thanks for playing. We appreciate you, buddy. Sorry about that first question. A little bit sketchy.
It was very sketchy, Jason Ader. But, hey, it is what it is. All good, bud.
And Danny, I hope you enjoyed your first foray into Wildy and Tausch trivia. I hope you'll play again. Good luck in the drawing. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, boys. Love you guys.
I love you guys.
All right. That is the end of the 9 o'clock hour at 10:14. Practice starts at 10:30.
Not bad for us.
I'm going to stick around till probably 10:30 and then walk down, and then you guys can do your little cute little Mr. Irrelevant takeover. The 10
cute,
o'clock hour.
Cute little.
Yeah, that's what I was going for there.
Yeah, not demeaning at all. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was, no, you read that correctly. It was meant to be demeaning. And okay. Taking the liberty of injecting your show into the middle of our show?
The producer of your show told me to do it.
Yeah, for the record, not my idea.
He didn't talk to me about it. I'll tell you that right now. And why is he texting me?
How about you watch the practice?
Is that even working?
What'd he say? Air it out. Air it out. What'd he say?
Topics? He's Jesse, just go swimming in the lake or whatever it is you're
Jason,
doing.
Jason, you try to join your own show while you're on vacation.
That's different.
You're the worst at that. You are the worst at that.
Now you sound like Paula. We need to get to the 10 o'clock hour. That'll start in 2 minutes. So shut up. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.